I want us tonight in this lesson to talk about growing through meditation. I know that there is within the heart of so many of us a desire to be better people. You and I need to understand how often the Bible talks about meditating on the law of the Lord and the impact that that has on individuals that do it. Just this last weekend, last Sunday, the elders met with the men of this church and challenged every man in this church, and the response was just absolutely amazing. For men to become more spiritually minded, for them to think more about righteousness and get their priorities straighter, because that will have an impact on this church in every aspect of what we're trying to do. But listen tonight, while it will be helpful to those men who made that commitment, obviously helpful for those who were not there to make that commitment, but it will be helpful to every one of us to think about this matter of meditation. I don't know if I often think of meditation without going back to my days at Fried Hardeman. Chad, I was a student there 106 years ago, and there was a young man from West Virginia. He was weird in many ways, but the weirdest thing of all was when he got ready to study, he'd say, "I'm going to start studying in a few minutes," and he'd pick up a piece of paper and hold that piece of paper in front of him. Everybody wondered what was on it, and there was not a thing on earth on that piece of paper. He says, "I'm trying to clear my mind before I start studying." I think that is weird. You and I need to understand, though, that there's a lot of truth about the fact that our souls and what our souls are, and by that what we are, is determined by what we think. You stop and recognize the fact that the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You and I need to understand that which is inside our heart is that which comes out of our mouth, and not just in some temporary kind of situation. Would you let me understand your language over a period of time, and I'll be able to make a great judgment. Anybody be able to make a great judgment of where your heart is. Sometimes we think that, well, I don't talk a lot of evil about a lot of folks. Well, that means there may not be a lot of evil in your heart, but is there any good in your heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, out of a man's soul, he speaks. And whatever we're talking about all the time is indicative of the fact as who we are, of who we are, and we need to try to learn how to think more clearly. Because you see, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I remember seeing a statement. We'll put the statement on the board in just a minute. When I heard it, I didn't see the commas that were in it, and I thought the speaker said exactly the same thing. And that statement was, "You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are." Now, let's read that and recognize that comma that's in that second part of that. You are not what you think you are. Sometimes we have a wrong evaluation of ourselves. Sometimes it's too high, sometimes it's too low. We are not what we think we are, but what you think, that's what you are. Now that means that you and I need to pay attention to what we think. And the Bible word for prolonged and deep thinking is the word meditation. And if we're going to change our souls, we'll have to change our hearts, and to change our hearts, we're going to have to change what we're thinking about. That's why evil companions corrupt good morals. We let the impact of those that are around us control our thoughts, and it changes our heart and changes our soul. So it's important that you and I understand that what we are inside, deep inside, when it's just us and God, that's the part we need to change. And if we want to be complete in Christ, and if we want to have greater morality and greater spirituality, we're going to have to change what we're thinking about. You and I both appreciate the fact, do we not, that David was a man after God's own heart. Well, what did David think about? You see, if we can find out what David thought about and what godly men thought about, then we'll be able to understand how we can be people who, when God looks down and says, that young person has a heart just like mine. Take just a moment to look at Psalm 119 and hear what David thought about. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. David, what do you think about? When you're out there working with those sheep out there in the wilderness, what are you thinking about? Well, I'm thinking about what God said. It's David's heart that comes out that says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. David looked up and saw the magnificent grandeur of the creation of God, and he thought about it. He didn't just say, well, that's pretty. I wish I had my camera. I'd make a photo of it. David looked at the things that were around him, and he saw God and saw God's presence in that. And so he says that your testimonies are my meditation. Hear this again. My hands I will lift up to your commandments, which I know, and I will meditate on your statutes. That's Psalm 119, verse 48. Listen in verse 78 when he says, let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. I will meditate on your precepts. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. That's in verse 97. Verse 99, I have more understanding than my teachers. Your testimonies are my meditation. You look again and you'll find David talking about the meditation and the will of God and that which he thought about. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. David, what'd you think about? David, whenever you're king, what are you thinking about? David, whenever you are trying to just live your day-to-day life, what are you thinking about? Now see, the whole application of this lesson is to try to make every one of us change the pattern and the way we're living our lives to think more deeply about spiritual matters. The passage that we read will help us understand the blessings that come from meditation. Joe read Psalms 1, that the man who does not in the negative way walk and stand and sit around ungodly and scornful and evil individuals. Verse 2 says, he delights in the law of the Lord, and on His law does he meditate. Blessed is that man who meditates on the law of the Lord. How much do you meditate? How much time do you just spend by yourself and by God? And how much time do you just sit there in communion with God and think about spiritual matters? Our lives are so full. There's never been a time when we were more committed about doing things every minute of our lives, even young people. Think of how busy your life, and you've got to go here, and you've got to go there, and you've got to do this, and got to do that. And those of us who are older overcommit ourselves until there's almost no time at all for us to become like David was, for he was a man after God's own heart. And if we're going to change who we are, we're not going to do it until we change the way we think. What does the Bible teach about meditation? First, ask the question, When in the Bible did men meditate? The first time meditation is mentioned. It's mentioned in relationship to Isaac. I find that remarkable. That doesn't mean that those other characters did not meditate, but the first man that is mentioned as meditating was Isaac. Evidently, Isaac must be aware of the fact that Abraham has sent his servant to bring a wife back for Isaac. And he does not have any idea when that servant is going to come back with his wife to be. But in Genesis chapter 24, the Bible says, at evening he went out to meditate. Do you have any time that you just really set aside to meditate? Or is the spiritual part of your life just something you sort of push on a back burner, and if you have time, you'll get by, get around to it? But I really don't have a time to meditate. The Bible says that Isaac went out, and he went out at evening. The Psalms 1, we've already noticed, said, and on his law he meditates day and night. In Psalm 63, in the night watches, I'll meditate. You ever wake up in the middle of the night? You're sort of tossing and turning. Here is David, a man after God's own heart, and he says, in the night watches, I'll meditate. In Psalm 119, he says, not in the night watches, but through the night watches. Here's David at a time in his life when there were almost sleepless nights. What did he do? He thought about spiritual matters. Let me illustrate with a name some of you will recognize, and that is Bill Sproul. That's David's grandfather. I wish those of you who were not able to know Bill Sproul could have known him. The most gentle-spirited man I've ever been around, I suppose. The man had an attitude of a servant like that was just remarkable. I don't think I ever asked Bill to do anything that he didn't just respond immediately and say, I'm going to do it. Those of you who knew him, I know you have that same evaluation of, you know where Bill Sproul comes from? Bill said, the last thing I do at night before I turn out the light is I read a verse in the Bible. And then I turn the light out, and as I go to sleep, I think about what I've just read. He said, when I get awake in the morning, I don't turn the TV on, I don't turn the radio on, I don't read the newspaper, I don't even get something to eat until I've opened up the Bible and read something from God. He said, if I wake up in the middle of the night, I'll turn the light on and find a verse in the Bible and read that verse and think about it. That's meditation. And you and I need to understand that that's who we are. If our life is always full of that which is secular, we'll have a secular heart. And so you look at these great characters in the Bible, and there's David, and there is Daniel, who both talked about three times every day. There was an appointed time, evidently, in their lives, for sure in the life of Daniel, an appointed time, morning, noon, and evening, is the way David describes it. Daniel prayed to God three times a day. He had a time set aside. He had a place set aside. And it might be that you'd want to have a special place where you just go, whether it's just you and no television and no cell phones and none of this junk that's out there in the world that's just captivating all of your time, and just sit down and read the Bible. Do you know how Judas found Jesus in Gethsemane? The account said that Jesus went to Gethsemane often. I don't know anything more about that than that one statement. But if when Jesus was at that time in his life, when he was facing the greatest trial any man has ever faced on this earth, there was that place that he went. And Judas, knowing that Jesus was under trial, knew enough about Jesus to know that's where Jesus is going to be. You hear Jesus in Gethsemane. And there are those individuals who are around him. There are those eight disciples that are there that he leaves in one place and carries three others a little bit farther, and then he goes a little bit farther all by himself. And he spends time with God. When was the last time you just sat down, just you and God? You see, meditation has to do with me really thinking about my relationship with God. And it's important that we do this. Why do we meditate? Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, as he delivers that encouragement message to those individuals who are about to go into the promised land, he says to them in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it." That's obedience. "For then you will make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success." Here they are trying to become a nation that is close to God, trying to become a nation that will be prosperous and that they will be prosperous, and put that in a spiritual aspect of that. And Joshua says, when you get in this promised land, that's what you need to do. Day and night, you need to be thinking about spiritual matters. Sometimes we get in the car and the first thing we do is turn the radio on. Nothing wrong with that. But if that's the totality of our life, and that is the secular world that is there, we're not going to grow spiritually. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And of all my times that could be quiet times for me and God, all that time, I just fill it up with all of this junk that's in this world and all of the problems you're having at work and problems you're having with family and all of this other stuff. There's no time to change your soul. If I say the name Aline Belden, that's the name of a sister in the past, and she said, "Dan, what I do is I keep my Bible open in the car when I'm driving. When I come to a red light, I pick up my Bible and read a verse out of the Bible." That's not a bad thing to do. That's a whole lot better to do that than just to never do any time anything like that. So every person meditates in a different way. But Psalm chapter 49 verse 3 talks about, "I meditate that I might have an understanding." You understand life? You understand what your place and all that is involved? You understand the will of God? David said, "That's when I figure it out, when I'm meditating on the law of the Lord." And we all recognize that we need to draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to us. I want you to pick up your Bibles. Let's open to 2 Peter and let's meditate together. I want to try to illustrate in some fashion, if I'm able, thoughts that an individual might have as he reads a passage from God. Now, this is not the only way to meditate. It's not the only way to look at the Word of God. But you and I need to understand that meditating on the law of the Lord is so different from reading a chapter in the Bible. And I'm so thankful that there are members of this church who've read the Bible through several times. And I wouldn't discourage that at all. And there are other passages that could have been looked at. And the thoughts that might come from looking at these other passages would be so different from the thoughts that one might have just reading this passage. I want you to pretend that you're there by yourself. I'm going to let you look over my shoulder. I'm going to sit down and read this passage and try to illustrate, if I possibly can, how to let God's Word change you. There are other ways to do it, but here's an example of it. I sit and I read the Word of God for this very reason, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you'll never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, what are you trying to tell me? God, help me to understand what you're trying to say here. God, I could read this again and I'd see things in it that I have not seen. But God, this is you telling me what you want me to be. And God, that's what I want to be. And God, there's some of these words that I probably don't understand really well. But God, I hear you tell me that if these things are in my life, I won't be barren or unfruitful. And God, you're trying to tell me if I put these things in my life, I'll never stumble. And God, I remember so-and-so, and he fell away. I remember a former elder in the church who got involved with a woman, a man who'd been so spiritual, and I think about that man, and I don't want that to ever happen to me. And God, I've known preachers who got their life all messed up. God, I want to go to heaven. And God, what I hear you telling me is that if I'll do these things, I won't be barren and unfruitful. And I'll never fall. God, you know I don't want to fall. I've been a Christian all these years, and since my childhood, since my early years, I've tried to serve you faithfully, God. I don't want to mess it up. I've known some older Christians who just fell away. God, don't let that happen to me. God, I want to grow. And I want to be like this person that you're talking about right here. And when I read this passage, and there is that an entrance abundantly into the everlasting kingdom, God, that's what I want above everything on this earth. I know, God, that I'll either hear the words, well done, or depart from me. And God, I hear you telling me that my entrance into heaven won't just barely be in getting there. It's an abundant entrance. God, that's what I want. And God, I'm going to look at these things that are in this. And I'm going to have to study some of them, because some of these words, I'm not sure everything that's involved. I'm not even sure what you mean by virtue. I've got some idea. But God, help me to take time to study what it means to be virtuous. And God, whatever it means, that's what I want to be. God, I hear you say that you've got faith, and I do. God, I really believe in you. But to my faith, I need to add these attributes. And God, I wish it weren't this way. I wish I could pick and choose. Got to do pretty good on some of these, but God, I know that's not the way you want it. I want to take the faith that I have, and I want to add these things to my life, that I might be changed. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. God, I've been in the church a long time, and I know some things. I may know more about the Bible than many people do, but God, don't ever let me start coasting. I want to add knowledge. And God, I'm sorry, but I've been too busy to study. But I want to study. I want to add to my faith virtue, and to virtue I want to add knowledge. And to knowledge I want to add self-control. God, you know what a temper I have. You know how all my life I've struggled to be a person, control my temper, and I know I may be weaker in this part of my life than in any other place. God, help me. God, help me to gain self-control. God, I want to be like Jesus. And I'm so thankful that he shows me how to live on this earth, that kind of life. I want to be characterized by self-control. This matter of being steadfast and persevering. Sometimes, God, my spiritual life's like a roller coaster. I'm close to God, and then I'm away from God, and just sort of an up and down relationship. God, help me. Just keep on keeping on. God, it's like me and Judy were talking just recently about each step I take, my Savior goes before me. And that's the way I want it to be. And I want to stay steadfast to you, so as that song said, and then someday the last step will be taken. And I want to be holding on to your hand when I take that last step. God, help me to add godliness. Sometimes when I think about what would Jesus do, and how I've responded whenever I've been in situations I don't feel like Jesus. Help me to be more godly. And help me to take time to be holy. And I might at some time in this point in my own meditation start singing the song, "Take Time to Be Holy." Speak off with the Lord. There have been times in my life when I've been so burdened, there are some rather special places that belong only to me and God, and I just go park the car there and just talk to God. God, I love that time whenever, those times when my grandchildren said, "Dad or Granddad, let's go to the beach and watch the sun rise." And as the sun is rising, we're sitting there singing and praying and talking about God. God, I wish I could be that way all the time. And God, forgive me for the times I've not been godly. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And I thank you, God, that there have been people around me who've taught what kindness is all about. I thank you for my big brother, Jerry, and for the kindness of his heart. God, help me to be kind. Help me to be so harsh in judgment and critical of everything, to men always to have my own way. God, help me to be kind. Brotherly kindness to my brothers and sisters in Palm Beach Lakes. And brotherly kindness, agape, love. God, that's the way I want to be. God, help me to add these things to my life. And God, forgive me for sometimes getting self-satisfied because I'm a whole lot better than some folks on this earth. Help me to look at this list and other lists in the Bible and think, well, I'm sort of making a passing grade. Oh, God, help me to be honest with myself and to see myself in all of these verses. God, help me not to be short-sighted. I hear, God, you saying that if I lack these things, then I'm blind. God, open my eyes so I might see myself. God, help me to be a better person. I want to be fruitful. I don't want to be barren. I want, God, that abundant entrance in the kingdom. God, help me. Help me as a leader in my family to live before Judy and Debbie and David and Gary and Jonathan. Help me to live before them and before their mates, before Mark and Sherry and Jackie and Julie. And God, help me to live before my grandchildren. What's in this book? And that's what we all need to do. Is to find time when it's just us and God. And open up our hearts and our soul to God and say, God, I don't know how you love me. I don't have much love for myself. But God, I'm so thankful that you love me. God, help me to be a better person. Now, there are other passages in the Bible. If we'd been in one of the Psalms, meditation would have been different. But in this Psalm, that's God talking to Dan Jenkins. And God says, Dan, if these things belong to Dan and they abound in Dan, Dan will not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus. He will not be short-sighted. He will not be blind because he'll remember that he was purged from his sins. As men in the church, we've been challenged to grow spiritually. That's not just a statement, the resolve that you made a week ago. It's a life-changing decision that'll change you and it'll change your family. It'll change your home and it'll change Palm Beach Lakes. The ungodly are not so. Like the chaff that is in the wind. But he who meditates on the day of the Lord will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. God help each one of us to spend more time with God by ourselves and meditating on His Word. Where are you in your relationship to God? There's that abundant entrance that can be yours, but it'll not happen unless you make a commitment of your life to God. You need to change. To become a Christian, you've got to believe and you've got to change. You've got to repent. You've got to confess your faith in Jesus. And you've got to be baptized. And all of those verses on the screen, there's not any question. That's the will of God. It's not some plan some man has thought up. That's God's way to get inside His family. But those of us who are Christians need to understand that there are times in our own lives where we need to repent. Though our outward man is perishing, that inward man is renewed day by day. We take up our cross daily. And I ask you tonight to make some decisions about how you're going to spend your life and get out of this rat race of secularism there is, and find some time to meditate on the law of the Lord and let God change you. Let's go to heaven. If we can help you in any way go to heaven, won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now? As together we stand and sing. Will you come?